Okay, so good morning. We are in Perek Chaf Dalet of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, chapter 24. We're starting a new Perek. And you may recall from about a month ago, last we left off, so David was still on the run from Shaul, and Shaul had actually managed to hunt David down and had him trapped. And then at the last moment, there was the Plishtim got involved in some kind of attack, and a messenger came and informed Shaul that this was going on. The Plishtim were invading, and Shaul had a decision to make. Does he does he take advantage of having David within his grasp and just finish him off? Or does he go and fight the Plishtim? And Shaul chooses to follow his responsibility as Melech, as king, and he goes after the Plishtim. Okay, Pasuk Aleph of Perek Chaf Dalet, Vayal David Misham, Vayeshev B'Metzados Ein Gedi. And David went up from there, and he settled, he dwelled for a time in Mitzados Ein Gedi, in the fortresses of Ein Gedi. In the past, we've had Mitzados as, you know, not necessarily man-made fortresses, but they could be just, you know, a rock formation or something. And that's where David goes. Vayihi kasher shav Shaul me'acharei Plishtim. And it was when Shaul returned from chasing after the Plishtim. There are some mefarshim who want to say that he didn't actually fight them. That the implication here doesn't say that he shav me'amelchama im haPlishtim, or he doesn't mention, you know, a war. It just says from chasing after them, and he didn't even end up fighting them. That's what at least I saw in one commentary. But either way, now he comes from going after the Plishtim, Vayagidu lo lemar, and he's told, they told him, saying, Hine David b'midbar ein Gedi. David is in the midbar, the desert of Ein Gedi. Vayikach Shaul shloshes alafim ish bachur mikol Yisrael. And Shaul took 3,000 of the choicest of the best men of Israel, vayelech levakesh es David v'anashav, and he went to find, to seek out David and his men, al pnei tzurei hayeilim, by the rocks of the yeilim. Yael is a type of animal that I don't think we're quite sure exactly what it is. It's often sometimes translated as Steinbeck, I don't know what that is, or Ibex, I think sometimes it's translated as.
Different than Ayel?
No, yeah, an Ayel is a ram. A Yael is something else. But this was apparently a rocky area where these Yaelim like to hang out. And that's where Shaul went to seek out David. Now, the Malbim points out a couple of things. He says, first of all, it doesn't say that Shaul had to gather any men like it usually would say, because here they were already gathered. They were already on the move. He already had his army with him. And also, he points out that previously, in the last story, in last parak, so David was in a place called, well, I guess even at the beginning, he was in Keilah. And Shaul gathers a huge army to go hunt down David in Keilah. And here he only gathers 3,000 of his men. He chooses out 3,000. And the Malbim says the difference was that last time he was trying to cover up the fact that he was going after David. He wanted it to seem that he was just going to battle the Plishtim. So he gathered a large army. But this time he he gathered up his just his best men, sort of wherever he felt would be sufficient to find David in this area that he was going to look for him. I read somebody sent me an interesting article this week by Beryl Wine, where he was basically pointing out that sometimes people, when they look at historical events, you know, and they try to draw lessons from it, so they focus very much on the setting of the time and the influences of the time, and you know, and the communist revolution happened because of this and that, and there was this thing and poverty, or you know, different things like that, and they ignore sort of that one person who was in power and who ultimately pushed things in a certain direction. It wasn't only the circumstance of the time. There was someone who made a decision, you know, because of his position, where he got himself to a certain position, and there are specific individuals who are responsible for these, you know, for World War I and World War II and the Holocaust and all these things. It's not just the times, it's specific people also, and it's sometimes ignored. And people in power have power, and the decisions they make have tremendous impact on the course of history. And here it's just interesting, I'm thinking of that because here you have Shaul, and you know, in the last parak, he's bringing his whole army out because of personal vendetta that he has against David. And again, you know, you could be changing the course of history because of one person in power who has a personal interest in seeing things go a certain way.
That's just looking at the physical.
That's a different discussion.
Sam was in charge.
Right, that's true. Now, he goes to find David by the Tzurei HaYa'elim. So the Malbim goes on and he says that in this midbar, in this wilderness, so there were these rock formations which were great, you know, natural habitat for these Ya'elim. And Shaul assumed, you know, if David's going to hide anywhere, this is where he's going to hide. This is the perfect place to hide. These rocks, you know, it'll be hard to find him. And that's why Shaul went there. Now, David, we already saw in the last parak, I think, David is someone who always is one step ahead. He knows, you know, so he knows that Shaul will think that he's going to be hiding there. So David does not go and hide in those formations, but rather he goes and he hides in a cave. It's Pasuk Dalet. Vayavo el Gidros Hatzon al Haderech. And he came to Gidros Hatzon, Gidros from the word Geder, some kind of fenced area for sheep, a sheep pen, which was on the way. Visham Me'ara. And there was a cave there. Vayavo Shaul Hasech Esraglov. And Shaul came to cover up his legs. In other words, he had to go and defecate. And so he went into the cave to relieve himself. The David Va'anashav B'yarkesei Hame'ara Yoshim. And David and his men were sitting in the far ends of this cave. Vayomru Anshe David Elav. And David's men said to him, so they saw Shaul, they were able to see Shaul in the cave and recognize him, which is, you know, unique, which is notable, that they were able to see him in the cave and recognize him and not be seen. And the men, what?
He probably has expensive clothes.
Could be. It wouldn't sparkle on its own. It would need light to reflect, but maybe there was some light, right? A torch or something. Yeah. Could be they were hiding in the dark and he came in with a torch. Yeah.
Also, in previously, he came to surround the city, so he needs to surround the city with a lot of people. In cave formation, he cannot squeeze a lot of people, so very few people can.
Well, he's not bringing anyone in. He's going in himself. Shaul goes into the cave all by himself.
That can explain why he brought on 3,000 people.
Well, the 3,000 people was for finding. It wasn't for going into the cave. It didn't have anything to do with going into the cave. He went into the cave to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, but in general.
But for. Right, he didn't need as many people. Yeah, you're right. Vayomer Anshei David Elav. And David's men said to him, Hinei Hayom Asher Omar Hashem Elecha. Today is the day that Hashem has told you about. Hinei Anochi. And then they quote, this is what Hashem said to you. Hinei Anochi Nosing Es Oyivcha Biodecha. I will give your enemy into your hands. V'asisolo kasher yita beinecha, you should do to him that which is good in your eyes. We'll just read to the end of the pasuk. Vayakum David, and David got up. Vayichros es knaf hamil asher l'shaul balat. And he cut off the corner of Shaul's me'il, his coat, his robe, his tunic, asher that Shaul had balat. He did this very gently, so Shaul wouldn't feel it. Okay, so we have a lot going on in this pasuk. So what do they mean, first of all, Anshei David? They say to him, today's the day that Hashem has told you he's going to give your enemy into your hands. Now, did Hashem actually tell David at any point that this was going to happen? So some of Farshim say it must be yes, right? As the Radak says, it's the day that Hashem told you, Al Yedei Navi, that one of the Nevi'im, either Nasan or God, one of the Nevi'im who was present at that time, must have told David and told the men that Hashem is going to give Shaul into his hands. So they set up, here it is. Here is your moment. The Malbim says
that enemies can be exclusive meaning.
Okay. The Malbim says that there wasn't a specific nevuah that Hashem is going to give his enemy into his hands, but they knew that there was a nevuah that David would be king, right? That. And Shmuel HaNavi came and said, David, you're going to be king. And we know that you can't have two kings at the same time. Ein shnei malachim ishtamshim b'keser echad. And especially, you know, if Shaul is hunting down David, so we know that Shaul is going to meet his end eventually because the Navi said that David will be king. So it must be that Hashem is arranging this. That's what they mean, that it's the day that Hashem has told you that he's going to give your enemy into your hand. It's not that there was a specific nevuah to that effect, but there was a nevuah that David would be king. So that means that Shaul is going to die. So they said, oh, here it is. Here's the moment where Shaul is to die. The Alshich has a similar idea. But he says that they were saying this based on the circumstances. They were saying, look what's going on here. First of all, we'll talk about it shortly, but if Shaul is chasing after David to kill him, he's a rodef. And the halacha is that tabo lehargecha, if somebody's coming to kill you, hashkem lehargo, you can get up and kill them first. You're allowed to kill a rodef. So they said as follows. They said, David, Shaul is trying to kill you. You're allowed to kill him. And maybe you'll tell us, David, that maybe the Torah didn't, that halacha doesn't apply to the anointed one of God, the king. Maybe the halacha of Rodef doesn't apply. So, or you'll say, I can't kill him, you know. It's going to cause great destruction in Israel. So they said, but wait a second. Look at the circumstances. Look. Hashem is giving him into your hands. Obviously, that's incorrect. Obviously, Hashem is telling you is sending you a message that you're allowed to kill him. He's sitting there at sword length. Just, you know, just kill him. He's right here. And so, according to the Alshich, when they said, today's the day Hashem has said that he's going to give your enemy into his hands, they were saying, look, there's obviously, you know, you got to read the message here. And it's clear, read the signs, it's clear that Hashem is telling you that you should kill him. They'll walk out.
I assume the rest of his army is standing out there. They must have seen him go in. He said, wait here for me, I want a bathroom.
Yeah. I don't know. So, now, what happens? So the end of that pasuk says, David gets up, and he cuts off the corner of Shaul's robe very gently. Now, definitely, according to most Mefarshim, this was not an attempt to kill Shaul. This was an attempt, as we'll see. He's going to take that little corner of the robe, he's going to show it to Shaul, and he's going to say, look, I could have killed you, but I didn't. Obviously, I'm not interested in killing you. The Ralbag is an outlier here. The Ralbag suggests that perhaps, really, David was trying to kill him, and he was only able to get to catch the corner of Shaul's robe. But again, I think he's the only one who learns that way. Everyone else understands that this was planned. He purposely only cut off the corner of his rope. Then he says, then the pasuk says, pasuk vav, vayhi acharethein, and it was after that, vayach lev David oso al asher karas es kanaf asher l'shal. David's heart hit him. It started to beat very hard. He's very hesitant or very nervous about what he had done because he cut off the corner of Shaul's robe. Now, why was he so nervous? So, according to the Ralbag, he was sort of upset at himself that he tried to kill Shaul. He regretted trying to kill Shaul, according to the Ralbag, that he was trying to kill him. Others were, he didn't try to kill him, but he even regretted cutting off the corner of his robe. Mitzvah David says that he doubted that he had done the right thing. You know, this is the Mashiach Hashem, this is Shaul. He's not a simple person, he's the anointed one of God. And even to cut off his robe, that was something that David regretted doing right after he did it. The Alshich has an interesting idea here. The Alshich says he relates it to what he said previously. Previously, the Alshich said that David's men were trying to tell him, look, Hashem's telling you to kill him, obviously. Look, he's right here. So says the Alshich, David wanted to make a test, to know what was Hashem's will in this situation. And what he would do was, the way he would discern, does Hashem want me to kill him, is that he would cut off a little bit of his robe and see how he felt about that. And if he felt badly, then he would know, then certainly I'm not supposed to kill Shaul. And if not, if he has no regrets, so may Hashem, who Hashem really wants me to kill him, and he says, Zed darko yisparach alidei hisorus kazeh, levilti havi takol alidei atzadim. That this is like a test a person can do. Hashem doesn't bring takala, doesn't bring damage through a tzaddik, doesn't bring a wrongdoing to a tzaddik. And if the tzaddik wants to discern what's the right path, so they can sort of gently approach it, and they'll get a feeling for whether it's the right approach or the wrong approach. That was David's eitzah. That was David, what David wanted to try, and that's that's what he was doing. And again, the result was that he regretted it, and so he knew I'm not supposed to kill him. There is a medrash that there was more of a, you know, a calculated idea that the reason why he regretted it was he thought maybe he was forbidden to cut off the corner of someone's garment. The medrash says, there's two ways of saying it. I think it's a similar idea. Well, that there's a Gemara that he disrespected the garment. That's true too. The Medrash says that he was upset because he was mevatel. He nullified Shaul's ability to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis because it was no longer a four-cornered garment. He took off one of the corners. He was mevatel him from that mitzvah, and that's what he regretted. And another way that the Medrash says it is that David compared it to payas. He said, is there any difference? Just like the Torah, we know, forbids a person from cutting off the corner of their beard, of their hair, of their payas. So too, he's like, is there any difference? It should also be forbidden to cut off a corner of one's garment, to remove it from the mitzvah of tzitzis. And that's, according to the Medrash, what he regretted at this point in time. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Vayomer la'anosha. Then he said to his men, Chalila li mei Hashem. Like, chas v'shalom. That im eses ha'davar hazeh la'adoni l'mashiach Hashem. That I could do such a thing to my master, the anointed one of God. Lishloach yadi bo, to send my hand against him, ki Mashiach Hashem hu, because he is the anointed one of God. So he says to his men, how can I do such a thing? How can I kill him? Now, when did he say this? Because if you read the psukim, so they say, kill him. David gets up and he says, and he doesn't kill him, he cuts off the corner. And then he comes back to his men, he has regret, and then he comes back to his men and he says, you know, how can I do such a thing to him? How can I kill him? So what was the order of events here? So Rashi actually learns that he said this before. He said this right away. When the men said, you should kill him, so immediately David responded, Chaliloli, you know, if Chas V'Shalom, I can't kill the Mashiach Hashem. The reason why the psukim are out of order is because they wanted to show Rashi says the reason why it's out of order is because it started talking about cutting off the corner of the me'il, and then he regretted it. Yeah, actually, I'm not even clear what Rashi's trying to say. Rashi's trying to explain why it's out of order. It sounds like it wanted to sort of get through the story and then go back to the words that David was saying. That's what Rashi says. But other Mefarshim learn that, no, this happened afterwards. At first, he didn't say anything. And in the approach of the Al-Sheikh, and really the Malbim has a similar approach, that he was sort of testing the water, so then it makes sense. David wasn't sure what to do. And he had this Eitzah to cut off the corner, and that would help him discern what is the will of God in this situation. So they said, kill him. David wasn't sure what to do. So he tested it. He cut off the corner. Then he felt regret. So then he turns to them and he says, listen, obviously this is not the right thing to do. Chaliloli. Chas v'shalom that I should kill him. It's clear to me now that that's not God's will in this situation.
Was if he wouldn't have had Parata, then he would have killed him then?
According to those Mefarshim, yep. He was testing the water.
Once he got anointed, should we be cutting off the meal?
You're right. The Gemara, that had to do with disgracing a garment. Nothing to do with Shaul, but just for disrespecting clothing, the Gemara says he was punished. But we'll get to that, hopefully. Let's do two more psukim here. Vayishasa David as Anashav Badavarim. And David basically convinced, he pushed aside his men with words. He didn't allow them to get up to fight Shaul, which was quite an accomplishment, because if you recall, David's men are not like the greatest tzaddikim. They were sort of the misfits and those who had you know, the pasuk had different descriptions of who they were, thieves and all these vagabonds who enlisted with David, but he was able to lead them, and he tells them, leave Shaul alone. The Shaul kam ha'ma'ara v'yelch badarach, and Shaul got up from the cave and he went on the way. Vayakom David achrei chen, and David got up after that. Vayetze min ha'ma'ara, and he went out from Mei ha'ma'ara, from the cave. Vayikra achrei Shaul le'mar, and he called after Shaul saying, Adoni ha'melech, my master the king. He treats Shaul with tremendous respect. My master the king. Vayabed Shaul acharav, and Shaul looked back behind him. What's that voice? I think I recognize it. Vayiko David apayim artza, vayishtachu, and David bent his head to the ground and he prostrated himself before Shaul. And basically, in the next psukim, we're not going to read them all right now, but David goes on to tell Shaul, listen, you know, there, people say I'm trying to kill you, it's not true, and here's the proof. I'm holding a corner of your garment, I could have killed you, and I chose not to, because really, I have no interest in killing you.
Is there any?
Unfortunately, that maybe David's actions were, you know, saying, I don't do this. He speaks up and cuts all pieces of cloth. He was trying to protect Shaul from David's misfits.
I mean, it is, but ultimately it's David who has the, you know, it's David who Shaul is after, so. He also has an interest in killing Shaul, and he's choosing not to.
Because of misfits, I'd be interested in the king's garment. You know,
I don't think in this case. I think there's bigger things at stake here. I think. Now, there's a very famous medrash which we can't go through the story without mentioning, and that's the medrash of the spider. You know the medrash of the spider? So there's a medrash, and tracking it down wasn't necessarily so easy, because it's not in the regular midrashim, but there's a medrash that they quote in the Mishpat Zav. He says that it's found in the Vilna Gaon, references it in his Likutim on Tehillim, and he said it's found in a Sefer Otzer HaMidrashim. My Google search tracked it down actually to the Sefer Alpha Besa of Ben Sira. Now, I don't know if that's the regular Sefer Ben Sira or that's a different. Sefer Ben Sira is a Sefer that it's quoted in the Gemara. It's a very, very early work. It may be considered part of the Christian canon, I'm not sure. They may consider it part of the Bible. But it's a real sefer. It wasn't canonized in our Tanakh. Didn't make it, but it is quoted by the Gemara.
Because a lot of books were burned down.
I think we still have it. We still have the Sefer. So this is something called Alpha Beis HaMesira. I'm not sure if it's the same thing, but what it seems to be, the Sefer seems to be conversations between Nebuchadnezzar and this person named Ben Sira. And in that Medrash, so Nebuchadnezzar actually asked Ben Sira, why did Hashem create Sirin, a Tzira, which is some kind of, I don't know, mosquito of some sort? And why did Hashem create spiders? And he told him that actually David HaMelech had the same question. He says, one time, David HaMelech was sitting in his garden, and he saw a Tzira, this type of bug, and it was eating a spider, and a shote, an imbecile, came and with a piece of wood, and he sent away the tzira to save the spider. And David turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, what's the purpose of all of these three creations? What benefit is there in the creation of the tzira, in the creation of the achbish, the spider, and in the creation of a shotev, someone who has no intelligence? What is the purpose? He said, the tzira is useless. All it does is it eats honey and it destroys. It doesn't have any benefit to it. The spider just makes webs, but you can't even use that for clothes. It's not like a silkworm, you know, makes silk. Spider just makes webs, you can't use it. And we have use for spiders to keep out other bugs, but...
Well, they're actually trying to make...
Now they're trying to make something with spider webs? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Are they succeeding?
Not on the scale.
Okay. It's, and he says, a shota, someone that don't just hurts people, and he doesn't know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't understand, and what's his purpose in the world? So it will go on. It will say, we already learned what the purpose of a shota was. Hashem says to David, you're gonna be saved by these three things. So we learned about the shota a little while back when David feigned insanity to save himself from Achish, the king of Gath. So that's where that came in handy, that there was such a thing. But what about the spider? So the Medrash says, when David was hiding in this cave from Shaul HaMelech, so Hashem sent a spider, and it weaved a web on the face of the cave. Now, I guess it wasn't... See, I always thought of it, and I think the way that we see it in the stories is that it was on the front of the cave, and David was inside, and Shaul walked by. Now, it could be that that's happening, it was a different cave, but the implication is that it was this cave. I think, because the way the Medrash says it's kishen nichbe b'ma'ara, when he was hiding in the cave, in the cave, or I guess it could be in a cave, but so there was a spider that sealed up the entrance to where David was, and when Shaul came along and he saw that it was sealed up, so he said, oh, certainly nobody has come in here, because how can you get in? You have to tear the web in order to get in, and he didn't go into to that cave.
Further in the cave.
Right, so it's a little bit, right, it's not clear. Either, right, it could be this is a different story, it's a different cave, at a different time, and it was at the entrance of the cave, and Shaul just went by the cave and didn't look for David in there. It's a little bit implied that that's the case here. It's also possible that it's the same cave and it's just further into the cave, and David and again, after David went in, the spider made the web, and when David came by and when Shaul came by, he said, oh, you know, it can't be that David's in here, because, or he's not, you know, he's not any further in here because look, the cave is sealed up. And when David came out, so he saw the spider web, and he saw the spider, the Medrash says, and he kissed it, and he said, Baruch Baracha Uvaruch Ata, blessed is your creator, and blessed are you, spider. You ever kissed a spider? Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Yaseh Kemasecha V'Chigvurosecha, Shekol Masecha Noyim. Ribono Shel Olam, who could make such creations like yours and your might, that all of your creations are noyim, are beautiful, are wonderful. And that's how he was saved by the spider. So that's the famous story.
What about the third bug?
The third one was the tzira. I think it's a later story. I think it says.
Was it the gnat with Nebuchadnezzar?
What?
The gnat with Nebuchadnezzar there went into.
Well, that's a different thing. That was with. Yeah, that's something else. No, this was with David. This was with David and Shaul.
That was the same story for Robert Bruce, Scottish story. He's hiding in the cage.
Could be. There's a lot of overlap in some of these legends. And
a lot of spiders.
Okay. That's the story. So if it, whether it was this cave or not, it was definitely in this, you know, relates to this episode. Okay, now, the Gemara tells us, so actually, a few psukim from now, when David speaks to Shaul, so, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so when David tells Shaul what happened, he's like, Hashem gave me into your hands. The Omar laharagcha, and he said to kill you. Vatachas alecha, and she had mercy on you. It's a strange pasuk, the grammar here. And he said to kill you, and she had mercy on you. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, it shouldn't say, and he said to kill you. It should say, and I said to kill you. Meaning, I said I would kill you. I was going to kill you. And it shouldn't say, and she had mercy, or and you had mercy. It should say, and I had mercy on you. So Amar Rabbi Elazar says the Gemara, Amar le David l'shal. David said to Shaul, Min HaTorah hayamutra l'harga. Min HaTorah, it was permitted for me to kill you. Why? Because you're a rodef. You're trying to kill me. And the Torah says, Haba l'harga chashkim l'harga. If one comes to kill you, you can get up and kill him. So that's what he meant, the Amar l'haragcha. And he said to kill you, meaning the Torah said, Hashem said to kill you, meaning the halacha is seemingly that I should kill you. That's the halacha of Rodei. I should have killed you. Why didn't I? Says the Gemara, Tznius shahaysa b'chahi chasalach. What? And she had mercy on you? Or and you had mercy on yourself? What does that mean? Your tznius protecting you. Your modesty. Your modesty protecting you. What was the tznius of Shaul? What was his modesty? Because it says, Vayavo al gidur satzong al aderech. Right? In Pasuk, Dalet, it says, and he came to Gidros Hatzon, to the fences of the sheep. Why is that plural? Says the Gemara, why is it fences? Because it was Gadir lifnim mi Gadir. It was a fence inside a fence. This was a very separate place. And it was a ma'ara lifnim mi ma'ara. It was a cave within a cave. How did the Gemara know it was a cave within a cave? The Marsha says, I'm not sure how the Gemara knows. Maybe they just knew what cave this was and that there was a cave within a cave. That's what the Marsha says. The Ben Yoyada says, I don't like that. He says, one of two possibilities. He says, either it's meduyak, it's inferred in the Pasuk, because it says, again in Pasuk Dalag, it says, Vayavu al gidro satong al aderech v'shamara. He came to the fences and there was a cave. And then it says, Vayavo Shaul HaSich Hazarim. And he came, it says he came again. So it sounds like first he came to the fences and the cave, and then he came again, implying that he went into yet another cave. That's one suggestion the Ben Yoyada says. Another one is, he says in Svara, the Gemara figuring out, because of what we were talking about before. Why didn't Shaul see David and his men, and why were they able to see him? It must be that they were in a place that was really, really dark. A cave within a cave. But their eyes had gotten used to the light. They were already deep in there for a while. And so they were able to see Shaul when he came in. But Shaul wasn't able to see them. But that's how the Gemara discerned that it was a cave, must have been a very deep cave, a cave within a cave. And that's where Shaul went to relieve himself. Again, though, the point of the Gemara is that this is showing Shaul's sneeze. When he needed to go to the bathroom, he really went far into the cave, far from his men, to a private place. Not only that, but it said, Lehaseich es raglav. He came to cover his legs. What does it mean to cover his legs? It says, Melamed shesikech atzmo kesukah. He covered himself like a sukkah. He took his robe and he covered himself very privately before he relieved himself. Now that somehow, says David Amalek, says David, your modesty protected you. Why did his modesty protect him? Why? You know, what does one have to do with the other? I could have killed you, but your modesty protected you. Very strange. So, not only that, but David himself says that the reason why he didn't kill him was because he's Mashiach Hashem, he's the anointed one. No, Chalila Lime Hashem. No, Chas V'Shalom, that I do this to the Mashiach Hashem, to the anointed one of Hashem. So, the Ben Yoyada explains as follows. He has a couple of approaches, but this is the sort of his most practical approach. He says, Shaul was a rodent, right? Shaul was chasing after David to kill him. So David is allowed to kill him. That's the din of rodent, right? Somebody's chasing, that's what the Gemara says. If somebody is coming to kill you, you're allowed to kill them. Now, as we noted, David doesn't answer, right? Pasuk Hey, the men say to David, here's your chance, you should kill him. Now, kill him now. David doesn't answer right away. He goes, he cuts off the corner of the baged, and only after that, the pasuk says, and he said to his men, Chalila li chas v'shalom, that I should kill him. What's going on? Why only after he does that? So we mentioned the Al-Sheikh says because he was testing the water. He was going to figure out what was the right approach based on his feeling, his reaction. The Ben Yoyada says a different idea. The Ben Yoyada says, that David knew that the reason why Shaul wanted to kill him, or David thought that the reason why Shaul wanted to kill him was because there were people whispering in Shaul's ear that David was after him. Or whether they actually were, or Shaul was just hearing these whispers. But Shaul thought that David was trying to kill him, was after him, that's why Shaul wanted to kill David. So David knew that if I can prove to him that it's not true, then he's not going to kill me. Now, the halacha is by a rodeif. If somebody's chasing after you to kill him, you're not necessarily allowed to kill him. The halacha is that if it's yachol lehatzil be'echon me'ivarav, if you could save yourself by just, you know, shooting him in the leg, in the shin, right, breaking his nose or whatever it is, right, then you're supposed to do that. You're not allowed to kill the person if you don't have to. So therefore, if there was another way out, then David was not allowed to kill Shaul. If there was another way out. Now was there another way out? There was, right? Because he had the second option. The second option was don't kill him. Rather, prove to him that David is not trying to kill him. And how do you do that? You cut off a corner of his garment, and you bring it to him, and you say, look, obviously I'm not trying to kill you. That is the way out. Now, and that's what he did. And it worked. So after he cuts off the corner of the baguette, he turns to his men, and he says, I can't kill him. Chalilali, chas v'shalom, that I should kill him. He may be a rodef, but I'm able to save myself in a different way, and therefore I'm not allowed to kill him. Now, how was David able to successfully cut off a piece of Shaul's garment without him noticing. Because what would happen if Shaul would notice? He would turn around, he'd see David, and he'd try to kill him. And then David would have to kill him. Because he'd be a Rodif and he'd be trying to kill him. The only way, and if Shaul was wearing his garment normally, then David would not have been able to cut off a corner. If he was wearing it like we wear our clothes, so Shaul would have felt that little tug, that little, you know.
May have taken it off under the circumstances.
Exactly. Well, no, he didn't. He didn't put it on a rock. But because of Shaul's tznius, and because he took it and he covered himself, he like blanketed himself in it in order to go to the bathroom. So yeah, so some of it was dragging on the ground. And that is what David was able to cut off without Shaul feeling it. He says that's what the Gemara is saying. That's what David told Shaul. Shaul, because of your great tznius, I was able to cut off a corner without you noticing. And now I'm able to prove to you that I can, that I'm not interested in killing you. And therefore, you're not a Rodif. Or you're a Rodif, but you're a Rodif that I can save in another way. And therefore, I'm not allowed to kill you. And so, Shaul, you know what saved your life? Your tznius saved your life. That's what David was telling Shaul. We have this tradition. That is the Ben Yoyada's approach over here. Okay, and just one more idea. As mentioned before, the Gemara concludes here, and it says, Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, kol mevazes habegadim, a person who disgraces clothing, mistreats clothing, lasof eino nehne mehem, in the end they won't benefit from clothing. Shenamar, as it says, v'amelch David zaking, when David was old and he was cold, they covered him, ayichasu b'begadim v'lo yichamlo. They tried to cover him with clothes, with garments, and it did not provide any heat for him, because the Gemara says that's because that was a punishment, a consequence of his mistreating the beged of Shaul at this juncture, was that later he wouldn't benefit from his clothing. Okay, I think we'll hold it here.